This episode of Film Sack brought to you by you. Those like you have supported us at patreon.com/frogpants. Even a dollar a month would be amazing. If you value this content, you have a good time with it, you laugh at it, you like hanging out with us, that's a great way to show it. That's at patreon.com/frogpants. Help us out today. Now on with the program.
The third to hit Los Angeles this month, unheard of in its seismic history. Elsewhere, the heat continues to rise. Record temperatures have ignited a rash of firestorms throughout many cities across the nation, all of which has scientists wondering, what's up with Mother Nature?
Hey, don't die on me yet. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. This is episode 240, and I'm joined tonight by Brian. Tell them to look at the damn numbers, Dunaway.
Mom, hey, what's that, Captain Ryan? What's our vehicle stat? Well, sir, vehicle one was shot in the face, which is too bad because it had like six kids. You want to see the pictures? Right. And we could really care less. Vehicle 2 appears to be on fire. Of course, you could just turn around and see all that for yourself. I don't know why we have to go through all this military formality of tech stats of what, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, let's move out. Cash and carry, people. Cash and carry.
You know, your version's better than what we saw.
Yeah.
With us also, Randy, no sweat, fingers, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. Hey, girl. Randy. I see you checking me out.
Yeah.
You're thinking, what's a guy this attractive and this available doing here podcasting? Yeah, I'm hot. And you could have me. But I've been told by other men who have this thing called empathy that I shouldn't treat women this way. And I see you recoiling from me right now. So I just want to say, this isn't about you, girl. This is about ethics and gaming journalism.
Jerko.
Let's get some emails on that one. Finally,
did
with
we all
us.
Watch the same thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Did you not see the scene that I just quoted?
Yes.
Kind of. Okay. Yeah.
The whole movie?
I don't think I saw this. I mean, I saw the movie, but I can't remember that scene. Is that the dude in the bunker with the...
No, there's a scene where she gets into a Jeep with one of the soldiers.
Yeah.
And he's just coming on to her. And he says, we should get a beer later after this, you know. After we nuke Los Angeles.
That was Styles, wasn't it? Styles, I think.
Yeah, that was Styles, the face of the A-Team in this movie.
Totally. He was their face.
I guess I should wait till we're done with Film Sack before I start erasing huge chunks of my memory that contain this film.
Yeah, do this. Kill it later with like rubbing alcohol and drink a little bit. You'd be fine. Brian is with us. His name is Brian Bad Dates Indy Ibbitt.
Bad Dates. I love it when we get to watch a disaster film on Film Sack. And this one with the screaming, the crying, the random fire setting. And some of that actually even happened in the movie, too.
Oh, so nailed it.
Easter weekend for Brian Ibbitt.
Nothing happened in the movie that was advertised. It wasn't even a scorcher. It was stupid.
And there was no Ben Stiller or anything.
Wait, Ben Stiller. Oh, yeah, there's some Ben Stiller reference.
Scorcher was the if you ever watched Tropic Thunder, it was your fake movie.
Right. That was the movie he was in and was supposed to be a big shot because he was in.
I wish we could watch that Twitter post.
Change that Twitter post. You knew was going to talk about that.
Yeah.
I was actually betting that no one was going to bring that up.
Really? Oh well.
You can't even Google this movie without getting past all of the freaking Ben Stiller references to get to the information.
So Scott Johnson is the one who hasn't seen Tropic Thunder.
I've seen Tropic Thunder. Hmm. I haven't seen them all. I mean, I've seen that one. There's only one. There's no sequels. I've seen the one Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder starts so fast with those trailers that it's alarming. Like, it's a little hard to catch up.
But I don't remember that overt of a reference to Scorcher, though. I guess they did one of the trailers was for it, right?
No. They didn't reference Scorcher.
They just used the name.
Yeah, they just used the name and had a lot of the same stuff. And this movie that we watched is like someone went back in time and made the fake movie from the Ben Stiller trailer.
Oh, I see.
But I can almost 100% guarantee you everybody involved with Tropic Thunder had no clue that Scorcher even existed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say something controversial here, but I kind of don't remember a lot of Tropic Thunder because I don't think I liked it very much. And I know that I'm in the minority. A lot of people love that movie.
You did not like Tropic Thunder. I
wouldn't say you're in the minority. I felt it had some funny moments, and it was great seeing Tom Cruise transform so much. Wow. But
we should have watched that movie.
What, with Tropic Thunder?
We should have watched anything.
Yeah, anything other than, we could have, seriously, I could have watched my grandma clip her toenails and we'd have gotten a little more out of it. It's maybe one of the worst movies we've seen, in my opinion, and I think it's right up there with, we talked about it before the show, but if anyone wants to go way back in the early episodes of the show, we saw something called Retrograde with Dolph Lundgren. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is just akin to that. It's a very, at some moments you're like, oh, they have some money because that's some decent lighting, but then nothing else feels like you're getting anything other than the grade C material from everybody. The director, some of these actors, some fine character actors. I freaking like Rizzo from MASH. Yeah. He's great. In fact, he's the only one in this movie I think was kind of acting.
I was thinking more like I could not see that guy pop up on screen and not picture Police Academy.
Oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, same thing.
Not waiting for him to bumble and he kind of did play the same character
a little bit. Totally the more it went on, at the first he seemed pretty chill, kind of with it, and was delivering his lines the way an actor should, but later kind of started losing his mind. Yeah. And that's what
he fell right into that Rizzo.
Lizard!
Totally. By the way, that guy, just, visually, physically, whatever, totally holds up. He's an old man and he looks great. Mm-hmm. I know this is 2002, so it's been a while, but it's even some like recent photos. It looks like he's kind of keeping in shape for a guy his age. But anyway, this is him, Rutger Hauer, as the most miscast president of all time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He looked like he did
decisive.
Yeah. Right, he must have been the VP and lost the president because he didn't act like he wanted to be president at all.
Didn't we see him in something on FilmSack where he was like VP?
Yeah, Retrograde.
No. He was like awesome. Vice president or something. There was some other person in power.
Oh really?
I might be thinking of Batman Begins because he was in that, and that's kind of the part he played. But it seems like we've seen something with Howard. But I think all we've ever seen was Lady Hawk, and that's it.
The dude has done so many movies that I'm going to scroll through as quickly as I can to see.
I just want to say, I realize that we haven't actually seen. You can't hear me.
No, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
But we're just ignoring you.
I just felt I for some reason I thought it was muted.
No. Sorry.
I realize we haven't watched Armageddon together.
Yeah.
But he reminds me of the president from Armageddon.
Right.
And who was who was President Armageddon though?
I don't know. Billy Bob Thornton, wasn't it?
No.
Oh no, he was the head of the agency. Their little space agency.
It was Morgan Freeman.
No.
Oh, he's the guy. Yeah, I know who it is. It's hold on. It's Stanley Anderson.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Is that the character or the? Hold on. I'm gonna find this president.
Wow.
Okay, President.
Even the president's name is boring.
Independence Day was probably the best president we've seen.
Yeah.
What you think?
So, Pullman.
Bill Pullman. Yeah.
So thanks to television, we now have a lot of presidents to choose from.
Right.
And I think I like Bill Pullman, but for the speech, I go with Armageddon.
Are you kidding me? Bill Pullman's speech when he gets on the thing and he talks and he's talking about.
Yes.
He pumps up and he pumps old Randy Quaid up. You telling me?
Yeah, I'm telling you that I think the speech by the president.
Here's the speech of this is Stanley Anderson playing the president in Armageddon 1998 giving his speech. Let's just hear a taste of it. All right, we got it. It's all very intense. Hold on, I want to get to where he actually talks.
President of the United States, not as the leader of a country.
Are we watching Lord of the Rings?
But as a citizen of humanity.
Oh, yeah, this was a good speech.
Mm-hmm.
We are faced with the very gravest of challenges.
My diaper's full.
Yeah, that's an intense speech.
Do you have the Bill Pullman speech?
I'm giving it to Randy.
And I just want to say...
This is our Independence Day!
That music was by Trevor Rabin, and he sometimes sounds so much like Howard Shore, I can't tell him apart.
All right.
I think you're absolutely right, Dunaway.
On your soundboard, Scott?
Yeah.
Do you have just a little bell ring like a ding?
I do. You want to hear that real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, I'm really quick on the draw here. Okay, here we go. Here's your Got it.
Okay, cool. Can keep that handy. And right. Anytime we talk about any other movie on this episode.
All of them.
And we've already covered Police Academy, Retrograde, yep. And
Independence
Armageddon.
Day, Armageddon.
And Tropic Thunder.
And Tropic Thunder. Yeah, we've done a pretty good job so far. Here's
it's just curious to get through the greetings.
Exactly. If there's one more per minute. Like if there's what our average is.
Well, here's one more for Independence Day here. Okay, here's Independence Day.
Good morning.
I just want to hear this.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world.
Hell yeah!
And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind.
Oh, it's shite. One's not good. Sorry. I'm going with Randy. Armageddon speech is better. It's better.
I'm sorry.
It's better because you got this.
Whatever. You had the Morgan Freeman speech.
That one's all right too. But this one is like this is a wizened old
asteroid is going to cause a deep impact in the face of the Earth.
Listen, if we play our cards right, we can climb out the other side clean from all the shit.
So this is a huge trope.
I'm sorry. All right, Brian Dunaway, go.
This is obviously a huge trope. Every time there's a disaster movie and we have the president as the central, one of our central characters, they all come out and they always have to give the depressing story to the people. So this is definitely a huge
big time trope
in the disaster movie.
Here's something else that's tropey. I'm going to play this a bunch of times now because you're not going to be able to avoid this, all right? I'm just going to give you the rapid fire troping that you don't deserve and none of us really deserves. You tell me if I miss anything. Trope number one. She's the daughter of the head researcher guy, and therefore there's going to be a conflict because he thinks that she hasn't done as well as him, and then at the end they'll figure it out and hug each other and everything will be fine. Trope number one.
Extension onto that trope is the decision will come up that he has to either save her or save everybody.
Yep. Trope number two. The president doesn't know shit. You have to explain everything to him because he doesn't know anything.
Right.
Everybody around him knows. He doesn't know. I don't know where
that
came
in
from.
English.
Yeah, can you explain that with all of the jibber jabby?
Could you draw a picture of it, please?
They never know. Trope number three. Colonel is always brash and rebellious. It was a captain or colonel, whatever, the young guy. He's the best we got, sir. Oh, but he made a pass at my wife. I'll still salute him, though, and forget that happened.
Was that the president's wife's daughter, by the way?
No, I think it was just who? Just
the first lady.
It's the first lady, yeah.
That was a great joke.
It's terrible.
She looks great.
Trope number next. A news montage. Those are always in there.
Yeah, don't forget about the radio news montage as well.
Yeah.
They actually used the same audio for both times.
Yep.
It was bizarre.
Oh, what else? Daughter has a name like Faith. It's always either Faith or Hope. I just want to shoot everyone who writes these movies. All right, that's all I'll give you for now. I got more later.
I've got a ton.
I'm just gonna say a major city
without that disaster affecting that city's most prominent landmark, i.e., every letter in the Hollywood sign individually on fire.
Can we go back into that trope though? You can't have the need to blow something up somewhere that you pinpointed on this planet, which is like 80% covered in water, and it not be New York City, Los Angeles, Tokyo, Paris, maybe Sydney, right underneath that opera house.
Yep,
maybe.
Right. Tropeception is what you're doing right there.
Tropeception.
So weird.
It is a little bit weird. The aunt who was watching the girl.
Right.
And she died because she shut the trunk.
Get in the damn trunk, lady.
Yeah, she should have gotten in with her. There's room for both of you in that oven that should have killed you anyway, but... she looked like Sherry O'Terry, and I couldn't get it out of my head the rest of the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought she kind of looked like a baby in a corner. You know what I'm talking about.
The new Karate Kid. What's her name? What's her name?
You're not talking...
That's Smith, part four,
Pinkett,
yeah.
Not Willow Pinkett Smith?
No, that's the white girl.
Hillary Swank.
Yeah.
Hillary Swank.
Jada Pinkett Smith, what was she in? Was she in a thing?
No, Jada Pinkett Smith?
Yeah.
No, he was talking about the sister.
No, I was thinking the new Karate Kid. You were talking about
The new one. Right.
Yeah.
No. I did not see the confusion. They made a horrible error back then. What the hell were they thinking?
Also, you got a ding?
We did it. I know. Gosh, dang it. This isn't handy enough.
You'll never keep up.
Here you go.
No.
All right, there. Got it.
Hey, we got our helicopter pilot trope from he's always got to be a little bit quirky and he's got to be from the 70s.
It was just Mad Eye Murdoch.
Yeah, basically.
Just freaking crazy Mad Murdoch. from the, and he's the first guy speaking in the movie. He's the first thing. Okay. Not counting the stupid intro where they go out on the Arctic shelf and there's fire, which makes no sense.
It's much worse. Is worse than
the Arctic being on fire? I don't think so.
There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse. That's a good trope. There are more. How about this one? Jokey, jokey, joke. And then ask a serious question about your daughter. Oh, and make it, this add on to that one. The colonel guy back at camp or whatever, back at in Washington, telling the lie about where his daughter is both times.
Yeah.
I hate that trope.
General Rizzo.
Yeah. General Rizzo and his lies. There's always this way, right? Like, oh, the guys that should be the good guys, they seem okay at the beginning, but as the movie goes on, they have melted down into the bastards. Every time somebody in authority does something
melted
bad.
Melted down and scorcher? Hey, you know what I did like? I did like that all the bad guys were easy to spot because they wore turtlenecks.
Right. Yeah. The bad guy nice. In the shop that has a girl captive, the bad dude on his group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the turtlenecks. Yeah. Totally. It's like they would have had a third bad guy, but they ran out of turtleneck money. So
you mean not necessarily guy just in his group, but guy who got third billing in a movie that he doesn't even on the poster for? Like, if you look at that poster, that poster is weird because, first of all, it's out of order. It says Mark DeCascos. He's the guy in the middle. Mm-hmm. Right. Over him, it says Mark Bolston. He's not in the photo.
This is a huge pet peeve of mine. Misaligned trailers with, you would think, there's the name and there's the person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they don't do it like that, weird. It messes with
me. It's obnoxious. By the way, that guy was...
If I were Rutger Hauer, I'd be really pissed off.
Right.
Yeah, his name is on there. It's just way over on the bottom right.
Yeah, and now everyone's saying, oh, hello, Mr. DeCascos.
Yeah, DeCascos. Boy, the guy in the middle, you sure don't look like Mark Ralston to me. He's nowhere on there.
I want to read a lie to you.
Yeah, read it.
This is from Wikipedia.
Okay.
Rutger Hauer said in a documentary that from the beginning of his acting career, he's turned down most of the roles that he's been offered. And has rarely accepted a role for the money.
Lies.
I am looking at his recent films. He was in Turbulence 3.
Yeah.
He wasn't in Turbulence 1 or 2.
Oh, shit.
He was in Turbulence 3.
I'm behind.
Have you read the script for Turbulence 3? It's a masterpiece.
And that ding can apply to all the turbulences.
Yeah, of course.
Probably.
All the turbuli, Brian. Come on.
Turbuli, sorry.
Yeah, the turbuli.
He was Dracula in Dracula 3 Legacy. Not
Jacula.
The first
two. Wait, did you say Jacula?
That's a porn parody.
How come there hasn't been a Dracula porn parody called Jacula?
I don't know.
Because that there would has. Be my come favorite.
On. You know, you want to know how dirty that it sounds? Brian's laugh when you said it. Is all you ever need to hear.
Right.
The kind of laugh you made says everything you need to know about Jacula. That's gross.
His latest film is called The Scorpion King 4, Quest for Power. Rutger Hauer has not been in the Scorpion King movies.
Yeah.
He is suddenly in the Scorpion King 4, which is a direct-to-video film.
Yeah.
He wasn't the Scorpion King in number one?
No.
He
wasn't. Does that count as a different movie?
No.
I can't really tell the difference between Rutger Hauer and The Rock. I don't know about you.
Yeah, they look so much alike. It's really, you never know what he's cooking.
They take their shirts off, and it's like, I can't tell.
Yeah. I just thought that was a weird thing, you know? Because if you're going to make your poster, you may as well... have your people in
line
there.
Line people up, yeah.
So you got.
And if you're going to have Rutger Hauer, I mean, probably between him and Rhys Davis, the two biggest names in the film, mm-hmm. have both of their names up at the top, and then have DeCascos and
wait. I have something to throw at you that's going to blow your mind.
I know who he is.
You say DeCascos. I say Iron Chef America's chairman.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The secret ingredient is banana roux.
So Mark DeCascos is...
Does that count, by the way, as a movie? Sorry. Okay, go ahead. What?
Mark DeCascos is the worst possible selection for the leading man in this movie. I spent the whole film waiting for him to die. I was going to stand and cheer. He never did. The jerk. The thing about it is he has spent his whole career playing guys that you hate. And if you didn't see this, you know Mark DeCascos as the Dr. Evil of Hawaii 5-0, Woe Fat.
Yep.
And
so many Hawaii 5-0 connections in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Weird.
Every episode of Hawaii 5-0, there's a guy who's behind the scenes pulling strings, doing crazy, horrible things. He plays that guy, Wofat. Right. And he plays it perfectly because I think he's actually evil in real life. I think he's evil.
Okay. But yeah, but so you don't like his kind of Boy Scout turn here where he's Mr. Do-Gooder. And,
it just doesn't work. I hate him. And so from when I first saw him in the helicopter next to Murdoch, I'm like, oh, wow, Mark, this guy, whoa, fat. I hope he dies.
Oh, Murdoch. That's a good comparison to Murdoch because that is kind of what he played in this. But people will recognize Fingers. from the Scrubs. Yeah, he was the psychologist guy, right?
Yeah,
he was the head of the barbershop quartet.
And I forgot that.
It was killing me because I can't place it. And I didn't want to look it up because, you know, I was intensely watching Scorcher, didn't want to be distracted.
Yeah.
But then about halfway through me, I'm like, oh, Scrubs.
Actually, we gotta make something real clear right now, and I totally forgot to mention this. I gotta ask it now. So Randy has this thing where he will make sure he sees a film sack movie 2 to 3 times over before we do a show. Comes in more informed. Also, I think he's crazy for it, but whatever. I respect it. It's a thing I hear about, and I go, oh, okay, cool. He's really, you know, doing his homework. There is no way in hell's garbage can you watch this 3 times.
No, 2. I watched it twice.
There's no way in hell's garbage can you watch this twice.
Yes, I did. And
life's
second viewing.
Life's too short to watch this once.
I call foul.
That is a double deadly dose. There's no way your body could have handled 2 showings of this film. You would be
second
dead.
Viewing started an hour and a half before I got on Skype with you guys. I just watched it the second time.
Did you do other things while you were watching it the second time?
Yeah.
I'm going to admit to that. I'm going to cop to that. I'm totally going to cop to that.
Get your car inspected. anything.
Sometimes when I watch a film a second time, I watch it on the television or something. This time I put it on my iPhone. Right. And my ear headphones on, and I played some Hearthstone.
That's a good idea. I can't be wasting TV lumens on that stupid crap.
Lumen. You're never going to get those lumens back either.
Never going to get them back.
No.
Lost lumens.
They're going to spend.
By the way, there's a link in the Skype. If you want it, it's a montage of the Iron Chef America chairman introducing secret ingredients.
All right. So he has no hair in this. He shaved his head.
Right. Yes.
Let's play a bit of it.
His secret ingredient is...
Cheese.
Secret ingredient is fire.
Duck. Catfish. Potatoes. Buffalo. Chocolate. Coconut.
Wow. To hear a guy yell potatoes with such gusto. Right.
The only one he's kind of soft on is cheese.
Yeah, cheese.
I would have loved if you had to put that kind of enthusiasm in this film.
Yeah, right? Because this is one of the problems with the movie, and I wanted to point that out. There is a real lack of tone. The tone is wrong all the time. There's overacting on that lady's part. By the way, she is bad. She is terrible, bad. Very lovely, very attractive, horrible actress.
Tamara Davies?
Yeah.
Name something else she's in. By the way, not related to John Rhys.
I kept thinking she was the lady that was in the 2 girls, a guy, and a pizza place, like the later love interest. Was that not her?
Hell no, that's not her, no. She's known mostly for some soap opera work and then a ton of movies like this that score about a 3 out of 10 on IMDb.
They Crawl.
Yeah.
Area 52.
Yeah.
Gale Force.
Yeah.
Gale Force was a Lifetime movie about Gale.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
That'd be great.
So it might have been.
Click on They Crawl. I just want you to do this experiment with me. I put this on Twitter earlier. Click on They Crawl and look at that poster. And tell me that first year high school Photoshop student didn't do a bang up job.
Well done.
Oh,
yes.
We mentioned They Crawl. Okay, sorry.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, and the photos with the just under the movie poster, how they show you like a scene from the film, a still.
Yeah.
It's got a cockroach under somebody's skin, but it's like they use the emboss filter on a face.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. It's terrible. It's horrendous. Oh, that's the one actually I'm thinking of.
That's
the photo.
What you're talking about.
So, yeah, I thought that was the poster.
For most of this movie, the first time I watched it, I thought for most of this movie, it was the lead main actress from Law & Order Special Victims Unit, which I realize is Mariska Hargitay. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's just for some reason, I spent the whole movie thinking it was her. And it took me looking it up and then watching the movie again before I stopped.
Yeah, definitely not her. Because Hargitay can act. This woman could not act herself out of a paper bag. She was really, really, really bad. And I don't know what some of these other guys were doing. This reminds me of the first Species, that's the movie, with, Schindler's, oh, damn it, I forgot to.
Schindler's Toenail.
Two movies, isn't it? it's the guy that plays Schindler's Helper. What's his name? I can think of his name. Gandhi.
Ben
Kingsley.
Yeah.
Ben Kingsley is in the first Species movie, and it's one of those moments where you go, who roped him into this garbage? And I felt that way about John Rhys-Davies here, even about Rizzo. I'd even say Rutger Hauer is under his norm level.
The first, Scott, the first Species movie also has Alfred Molina and Forrest Whitaker and Michael Madsen and Mark Helgenberger. Like, it's not.
It's bad, though.
It's not like Ben Kingsley is out on his own.
No, you're right. In that sense, true. I just felt like he was the most Shakespearean, most shouldn't be in here of all those people you just mentioned. Okay. All right. You can see Molina getting roped into some poop once in a while. And
yes, you can.
You know,
there's a direct-to-video movie where Alfred Molina gets roped into poop.
What's that one called? Do you know the name of the movie?
No, I don't.
Damn it. I was going to play
poop all over.
I was going to make this, but there's no movie to do. I'm just waiting for him now, man. Anyway, it's just garbage from top to bottom, this thing. There's some other trivia, though, that's kind of interesting. The opening sequence in which Beckett saves McGrath from the volcano in South America is using exact footage, driving shots taken from Dante's Peak, as was the helicopter sequence.
Oh, my God, absolutely. I mean, that was – I couldn't help thinking. I was like, I'm watching Dante's Peak.
Shit, I said the movie, didn't I? There we go. Then also, Terminator 2 Judgment Day. There it is. From 1991, the explosion, the nuke explosion that was like blowing buildings apart and throwing cars around, taken straight from that footage.
So John Rhys-Davies was out on the swing sets.
Yeah, swinging there.
Watched by Sarah longingly.
Yeah.
Does everybody have that horrible feeling when they realize early on in the movie that the whole thing hinges on us somehow solving a planetary issue with a little tiny bomb?
Yeah,
it's always.
Are we past that?
No. Do we solve problems with nuclear bombs anymore?
It was so well done with the
movies?
Core, right? Wasn't that the same thing with the core, is that they had to go into the center of the Earth and plop a bomb down there and
that's
then get
my
out?
Memory, yeah.
Although because the magma was going the wrong direction or something.
Dude, the core is
spinning or some.
I would argue the core is near Oscar worthy compared to this.
The best film of the year.
Yes. Compared to this, the core is Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, it's really good compared to this.
Yeah, this movie needed a scene where they find diamonds.
Yeah, I agree. I would recommend people watch this, and it sounds crazy to say that, but only in the context of
this movie.
Enjoy it with us, yes, because I feel like this, all of this negative stuff aside, we picked a movie that is great for this show.
No.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree. This movie,
tell us why.
This movie was what I consider to be just plain boring. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dialogue was bad, but there wasn't anything really to grab a hold of. It was bad, but not so bad.
Yeah, I'm kind of, there has to be some, like, you know, we've done bad movies on this show. Sure.
And those are fun.
Hard to watch movies.
Yeah.
Like this is bad because there's nothing fun about it. It's like somebody was comparing it to Sharknado without the joy.
Right. That was my first thing. We have a group chat earlier this week when I first watched it. I said, oh my gosh, it's like somebody combined Sharknado and like Battle Los Angeles and what was the other film? There's another film. It reminds me somehow of
Ishtar.
Gosh dang it. You know what I missed is a bunch of these.
Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's got
that sort
of vibe.
Yeah. Three of those. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's movies where you can grab onto something where it's like Troll 2. Mm-hmm. Bad movie. Worse movie than this. But...
And at least there's
way
a kid standing
set.
On the right. At least there's a kid in Troll 2 standing up trying to pee on the table or
pee
something.
Pee on the cookies, right? And this is my house and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe how much better the Day After Tomorrow is than this.
Right.
Wait a minute. Day After Tomorrow is miles better than this. Yeah. Tom Merritt says he loves disaster movies and he doesn't care how bad they are. I dare him to watch this and then still.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
Dare him.
There's no way because I didn't like 2012. He loved it. I didn't like. I don't like most of those. What's that buzz? Do you guys hear that buzz? Hey, Randy, touch your iPad.
Are you touching something again, Randy?
Yeah, touch your iPad. I think Randy's getting like electricity through him that it's one day is going to rear its ugly head and change.
I'm touching something. Okay, do you hear it?
Nope, it's gone now.
There we go.
Weird.
Yeah, really weird.
I wasn't really actually touching anything.
Really? Your left testicle. Your left testicle is touching your thigh. No, that's fine.
Arc.
Now I forgot where I was going with that. Gosh dang it. What was I saying?
Bad movies, Day After Tomorrow.
Like Tom Merritt would watch any movie.
Yeah. I'm going to challenge him. I'm going to say, dude, watch Scorch. Scorch is what I shortened it to.
Let us know how far you get in the movie before you start thinking of all the other things you could be doing.
Yep. Right. Let us know, because that's interesting to me.
You know, this movie was a 4x3 format, even on Netflix, which is bad. Was this released as you watched it 6 times, Randy? Was this released to was this released straight to DVD or?
Yeah, it has to be 4x3. Would have to be, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely direct to video. And by the way, the other thing I just remembered, the other thing going on while I was watching this the second time was the WCS Season 1 finals. Mm.
Oh, nice.
So this is a movie that you can actually watch while watching StarCraft.
We encourage you to please do anything else.
You can actually watch this movie while you're watching The Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah. Somebody in the comments on IMDb asked the question. I love, by the way, we always give crap to YouTube commenters and we give trouble to people that are commenting on, you know, Instagram and just how inane and all terrible all that stuff is.
Right.
People forget that there is a sewer right below IMDb as well where you can find some choice things like this. What is the difference between post-impact and scarcher?
Scarcher.
Post-impact?
What is scarcher? Post-impact.
What is post-impact?
That came after Deep Impact.
Oh, right. Long before scarcher came out.
Yeah, way before scarcher.
So post-impact is a very similar movie starring Dean Cain.
Okay. Get out of here.
Is that real? Oh, I was going to say, I was trying to say Deep Impact. All right, so hold on. Post-impact.
Yeah. Yeah,
2004, Dean Cain.
But you kind of know what you're getting. It's going to be after the disaster movie, so that's good.
Hold on a second. You need to look at Post Impact's album art cover.
Yeah,
it's just
hysterical.
Like a ski photo.
It's just a skiing photo of Dean Cain. Somebody.
What is happening?
There really was a
look at it. It's just some guy and his lady.
Well, that's Dean Cain.
What?
Hey, he actually looks kind of cool here.
That's
He's
not
like
Dean Cain.
No. Wait, you must not be looking at the right one because you're looking at IMDb photo and you're right. It's 2004 is a post impact. No, you need to go to Google and look to the right and you will see
better.
A nicer photo.
With the post impact on IMDb is the description. After a meteor strike starts a new ice age, a group of survivors tries to find a device that could give mankind new hope. And you put that synopsis with this photo and is the best combination.
Yeah. I think this person who is maintaining this particular IMDb
has
played
photo.
A joke on us and put a personal picture of himself in place of the movie because no one would ever notice.
Yeah.
That's got to be like, maybe that's Christoph Schrew, the director of...
I'm pretty sure the woman is Bettina Zimmerman, who's the second highest starring person in the film.
Oh, could be. I'm looking at her now. Let's see. Oh. I'm clicking on it.
The guy is completely covered up. He's staring into the sun. He's not got any makeup on. I think it's Dean Cain.
No, I don't think that's... I don't think that's Bettina Zimmerman either.
I don't think that's Dean Cain. There's no point in my lifetime that that's Dean Cain. That guy can't be Dean.
He's got the same nose, same eyebrows.
Dean Cain's a handsome guy.
It's from Bansko, Bulgaria. That's what it says on the description.
Problem solved.
I think there's some
foolery going on. I'm looking at Dean Cain from 2014. There's no way in hell that's Dean Cain.
Yeah, that's definitely not Dean Cain.
Yeah.
All right.
Whatever.
All right.
But the movie,
we're gonna solve this. There's one way to solve it.
All right.
Gotta watch the movie.
Oh wait.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I forgot to play that.
By the way, the company that released, or maybe not the company, but people who liked Post Impact also liked Der Venedig Code, which looks a lot like the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
10.5 Apocalypse, which looks a lot like Armageddon.
Wait, I've seen that one. That was a made-for-TV movie.
You saw
that?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Well, how
you
was
don't remember that?
How was that? No,
oh,
I don't.
I don't remember that.
How was it?
Keep going. You're about to get to the big payoff. Right,
what's
on
the
this
big
joke?
One there?
Yeah, is it Indecent Behavior?
No.
Or Croc?
People also liked Phase 4.
Phase 4.
Oh.
Yes. which isn't the same Phase 4 we saw.
No, but. I haven't heard many dings this whole time.
Sorry, I got sidetracked by indecent behavior. That is great. Here. There, I made it for all of them. Right.
The movie is actually technically called Hollyoaks, : Indecent Behavior.
Right. Colon. And written out.
No.
Yeah. Colonic.
:
Yeah.
Indecent behavior.
Indecent : behavior. That's what it should be called. That sounds great. Yeah. What a weird. It's weird. What a weird movie. All right. What else we got here? I got a couple more. Here's some tropes. I got some. Saying you need something really important and putting now at the end. So it'd be like saying, and I have, there's actually this line in the movie where Rizzo goes, give me thermal now. Like now. Nobody's doing anything. Mm-hmm. I hate that. It stuck out to me. It just is like every movie ever has done this, where if there's urgency, somehow the people working around you aren't moving fast enough and they're blindsided by your request and you have to pause and say now. So they all need to go. I hate that. It's small, but I hate it.
It was cash and carry. That's the whole cash and carry thing. I mean, you have this military urgency in this whole movie.
Yeah. Well, it's a war, damn it.
It is a war, damn it. And if it's a war, damn it, and time is of the issue, why in the hell are we driving six-wheelers in with our nukes when we could just flew the stupid things in? Don't get me started.
Hey, wait. Oh. Where did they find out who was shooting them? Did we ever find out who was shooting them?
Yeah, those are jackers, man. They're jackers. Yeah. They apparently have nothing to do.
They blew up the one guy who was shooting them.
Right, yeah, so there's two things going on.
C4 one, snapped into a
sausage. On their team.
Summer sausage.
So for one, on their team, they have a guy who wants everyone to die.
Yeah.
And specifically his enemy. You know, he's got a secret enemy. He'd rather the whole world blow up than this succeed.
Yeah.
Outside of that, in LA, there's a cult, a doomsday cult, that also wants
consisting
the end of the world
one
to
guy.
Yeah.
Or basically.
Yeah.
And although he's got henchmen early on, he's got henchmen.
We'll say he's represented by one guy. We'll say that.
And
he's
so he's
flammable henchman.
Yeah.
Right. So he captures the daughter, by the way, trope.
Oh yeah. That's a trope. Hold on.
If the hero has a daughter, she's going to get captured and she's going to end up being strung up for some reason. Not really. She's not like, she goes through a lot. Mm-hmm. But she's totally fine once she's saved.
Yeah, she's fine.
You know?
Well, she's obsessed with Blackberry. She's totally got the crackberry on the head. But other than that.
I call that the 24 contingency.
Yeah, that's
might
what
as well
have
been in a cougar trap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right. That's true. I forgot about that. Is that season one? Yeah.
Season
two?
Two, I think.
Okay.
One she was hostage the whole time, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Right, she was almost immediately.
Yeah, that's right. She was that cutie blonde lady who's doesn't do anything now, but she's
Alicia Cuthbert, and she was on Happy Endings.
Oh,
right.
I haven't seen
with that movie where she was the girl next door as well.
The girl next door, I think.
Yeah,
is it? Yes, but she is on some sitcom now, right? Isn't.
Oh, really?
She is. She is. No, she's actually. No.
Oh,
I'm getting
shit,
confused with the lady from.
Yeah, One Big Happy.
One Big Happy. Well, that's a new one.
Yeah, it's the show where this guy is best friends with a lesbian and they want a baby. And just as she gets pregnant, he falls in love and gets married to a woman who moves in with the two of them. And it's hilarity ensues.
All happens to me every week.
And if you don't watch it now, you'll never ever see it. She plays the lesbian.
Oh, she plays the lesbian.
She's pretty, but anyway, she's not in this movie.
Who was the actor who played the religious burn nut? Who was that guy? I was also
bugged by that because he was something super familiar, but every time my brain would try to think of someone, they would have been above the pay grade.
If this movie had have taken away everything else,
him. You got it.
You got him.
It was,
tell
it
us
was
who it is.
Thomas F. Duffy.
Thomas F. Duffy
was that bad guy. Okay. And he's been in a bunch. He's been in The Abyss. He's been in ID4. He's been in Super 8. He's been in Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Wow.
Wait, you're telling me the guy that barely had any screen time is the most accomplished dude in this
list? He apparently barely has any screen time in anything.
But he was really good at it. I would have watched an entire movie of just him and his craziness having somebody kidnapped.
Talking to the TV and...
I've seen this guy. I know who this is. Sure.
Mm-hmm. He reminded me of Tom Noonan. Remember, we've seen him in a couple of movies as the creepy bad guy?
Yeah.
He played Ripper in Last Action Hero, Tom Noonan.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
He reminded me of that guy.
Yeah, that guy. I just saw him something else. And
I don't remember.
He's in that rubber movie that we showed at Nerdtacular last year, the trailer for it. Remember
the
tire?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Not that that's a...
You know, well,
that's about tires, people, not prophylactics.
Yeah, it's not about a wiener hat. It's not that. Right. X-Files. I mean, the guy's been busy. He's got... Look at this. I mean, he's got plenty of stuff going on.
This is an episode of Divorce Court. Now, does that mean...
That was his divorce.
Yeah. 1986, an episode of Divorce Court.
Really? Right?
So two things. First of all, that we want to know, is Divorce Court staged?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Secondly, weird, right?
Yeah.
Of course Divorce Court staged. What, that's a question?
I don't know. I thought it was
a real thing.
Real?
I guess it's not. No, it's...
Yeah, it could be telling me the people's
actors,
court.
Actors portraying litigants in divorce proceedings presented their stories to a judge who gave his judgment, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, these were all actors who played... litigants. I honestly didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Divorce Court was real.
I thought it was real, that one.
Yeah. People's Court was real, right?
Well, it was real enough that they would then, you know, sure, things got twisted and tweaked and whatever, and who knows what was on the line, but they were real people. I mean, as far as I know, with real conflicts. I thought Divorce Court was the same. I had no idea. Well, we learned something new every day.
When you look through the list of, there's such a long list of people who have been on Divorce Court as these actors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see if there's anybody who went on to really big things like
Tom Selleck or something weird.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Huge list. My God.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a sidetracker for sure.
I liked it. We owe it to people who are listening. If you ever turn on the channel called True TV, those are all lies. Yeah. Every single bit of it.
Oh,
is
are
all
you telling
lies.
Me South Beach tow is not the real deal?
That's exactly
what
I'm
telling. Are you telling me they don't tow bikini clad women every week?
That's exactly what I'm telling.
Did you know what I knew would happen when you mentioned True TV? That the one person at this table right now that would know what the hell was going on would be Brian Dunaway.
Good.
I knew that he'd know that he would have a name, he would have like a show and know it. That's what I love.
Oh, Jill Whalen and Susan Olsen both played attorney and litigant. Jill Whalen was the daughter of Captain Steubing on the Love Boat. Susan Olsen was Cindy Brady.
It's a Love Boat connection with Ibbot. That's what I love. It's like you get a filter. It's like you add after that.
Everybody Love Boat was the Kevin Bacon of the 80s, man. Everybody was on Love Boat.
It totally was. I was trying to explain that to my kids the other day, what that was like, and they couldn't grasp it.
Yeah, there's really nothing like that.
We don't have anything today like that except Dancing with the Stars or, you know, something reality-based. But
Scott, if you've heard of a current True TV show, it's Hardcore Pawn. Have you heard of Hardcore Pawn?
I've not heard of Hardcore Pawn, no.
So I'm sorry to say, if you believe that this is
real.
They
call in Mississippi. I've been watching some Hardcore Pawn.
Pornography.
True TV is amazing because they get these reality shows made for nothing. They hire local actors, and this one is in a Detroit pawn shop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They hire local actors that nobody's ever seen on TV before, and they're just running a pawn shop reality show.
Yeah.
And then tiny bit actors who are getting paid scale come into the shop and cause drama and come in with crazy things. And the people who run the place are all having conflicts with each other.
Yeah.
There's lots of snaps and circles, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, right?
And the thing is, they shoot it.
A lot of attitude.
They shoot it and edit it so much like, you know, a regular reality show.
Yeah.
That you really lose the thread. You forget, oh, these are actors.
My favorite pornography is the one where the pizza man comes. Yeah,
on a pizza.
Isn't that funny though that all of the
said I'm here to fix your cable.
That's right, and it turned into quite the orgy, I'll tell you. But I love this. I love this idea that all the pawn shows on TV, all of them, are porn references. So it's Pawn Stars, which is obviously a reference to porn stars. Hardcore Pawn, like what is left?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pawn.
Pawn Scum.
Pawn
Tang.
Oh,
that's no good.
Pawn Scum.
There needs to be a porn shop named O, and it could be called Pawn O.
Quick, somebody grab Pawn-O. That domain and lock it down. Yeah.
The big Pawn O.
I have the new hot TV show for
what kind
2016.
What kind of tomfoolery do you like in your pornography? I'm telling you, pornography. That's your next one. That's what you should
Pawn Tube. Pawn Tube.
Pawn Tube. There you go.
Pawn Tube.
Do like the internet. What else here?
Addicted to pawn.
There you go.
Did any of you ever watch Storage Wars?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that for a while until somebody I know who works there, who's a fan of the Instance actually, who worked as an editor on that show, said that they plant stuff all the time in the back, yep. and the people know it, and it's all stupid.
And then Scott drew the line, and he said, no, not no to this, and no to
divorce. Well, then all the entertainment's gone. Then, right. then it's all just gone.
Because a show like you realize a show like that depends on never finding self-awareness.
Yeah.
And when it does, it's pretty early on. Like, it doesn't take it long.
No.
Before Storage Wars, you start realizing, if this was totally legit, the world would be swarming to this as a business.
Those guys would also sound less like they're reading off of cards when they do their little interview things. And not only that, like, I am one of those people, I like a good Southern reality show. I do. I like it. And I don't know what it is about it, but I like it. And so when the freaking Beard Boys were on, what the hell is that show called? The Frog or the Duck
Swamp.
Dynasty.
Yeah.
Duck Dynasty comes on Dynasty. In the early time. I really enjoyed Duck Dynasty. And then I find out they're a bunch of yuppies who grew fake beards and put on all that camo just for a show.
And doing Zaxby's commercials. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And they're supposedly very, very wealthy, but the show never shows you them living like all wealthy people do. All wealthy people have these things in common. These guys don't.
Yeah. Except for the one main one. He's got his huge house, but that's only there to say, ooh, look at the contrast between him and his brother and his dad and all this kind of stuff. And you find when you see these shots that were like photos of them on a beach, clean shaven, polo shirts, and stupid little shorty shorts, all hanging out on a beach somewhere in some fancy Caribbean thing, like 6 months before production started. F off, you guys. F off.
I love you said shorty shorts and then hanging out because that is that's the exact progression that should happen. Man, how bad a scorcher that we have fallen into reality TV talk.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, scorcher is so bad that right now I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for the TV show Cheaters.
Yeah.
To see if it's actors?
Yeah.
Oh, I know it's actors.
Well, what about the one? What's the one on MTV or what channel is it where they're all naked all the time and that lady sued?
Naked dating.
Yeah. Is that? Do you think that's just people getting paid a lot of money to take the clothes off and be okay with it, right?
Well, and that's the thing.
I'd like to hope that my dating shows aren't actors.
Yeah.
If there's one piece of truth I can cling to, let it be my dating shows.
Look, if Jamie Farr is really not looking for a date on that other side of that thing in that old dating game, then I'm not interested anymore. Take it out.
Well, I'm sorry to say, I think they are legit, the dating shows, unless they're on True TV or what's the other one? Is it Real Reality TV? Oh. If they're on one of those two networks, sorry.
So yeah, true. How is true spelled? TR is it just TRU?
TRU.
Well, there's
just
your
like
giveaway.
The True Detective stories from back in the day.
True Detective's a better use of your time. Just watch that entire series.
No, that's
true
a good
be
show.
When they lie about the spelling of true.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, you're already lying to me. We're already on shaky ground.
It's like sci-fi. Right. You don't spell sci-fi right. How do I know any of that's real? It's like that trick I played on my sister when she was little. She'd say, "This is Wendy, by the way." She'd say, "All right, I'll do. If I'm wrong, then you'll do the dishes for a week instead of me or whatever." And I'd say, "Okay, cool." And she'd say, "No, you need to sign a contract." And so I'd say, "Okay, fine, I'll sign a contract." And I would sign it Scott Jensen, and she wouldn't notice.
Oh, my
And then
gosh.
Like a week later, it would turn out I was wrong. So and now the day to come I'm to do her stuff, she'd go, "Here, look, you signed the contract." She's like six. And I'd go, "Oh, I don't know who Scott Jensen is. See ya. Gotta go. Off with my friends or whatever." Like, that's the equivalent of it, you jackasses. Yeah. It's not reality TV.
Yeah. Oh, wait. So you're admitting you were the jackass.
Oh, I was a total jackass about that, for sure. But, you know,
well,
brothers,
when it comes
sisters.
To, you never trust a Johnson when washing dishes is on the line.
That's right. Everyone knows that. Also, you just don't, you know, it's a brother-sister thing. You gotta take your licks. That is what I used to tell you. You gotta just, you know.
Now, back to Scorcher for just a second.
Yeah, let's do it for a second, though.
There was one moment where I thought it was actually cheesy enough to qualify for, hey, this is kind of fun. And that's when, right when the daughter was getting kidnapped the first time, when she was walking down the alleyway, she heard cop sirens. And so she was heading towards the sirens, and the sirens came blaring up, and of course she got jerked away right before the cops got there.
She got clotheslined and
she did, yeah, and
somehow
so,
knocked but, out by that.
Right. And then, but then the cops pull up, they shine the light down the alley and go, nope. And they just pull off. They turn the siren off.
It's not enough that we trust you, the viewer, to see what happened. We have to have one of the cops go, "Oh no, I don't think there's actually anybody over here where we're looking, where
we're
there could
in
have
a really
just
big
been somebody."
Hurry.
Well, that brings up a good point about the entire movie, which really struck me. So Ibit, your opener today reminded me of it as well. The feeling that there was a lot of talk about this natural disaster that was happening, and it was huge, and it was so far reaching that it meant the entire city of Los Angeles needed to get out of there.
Right.
But you never really saw anybody but like these four special forces guys, the president and his two cronies.
Right.
And then the couple of professor people. That's about it.
Because it would be way too expensive to hire extras to run screaming through the streets like they're escaping.
But you have to, yeah. Scott's right. You have to admit, they evacuated Los Angeles way too easy.
Oh really gosh. Quickly and easily. It's almost like everybody has a bag packed if you live out there.
Yeah, or even not only that, just the logistics of getting the hell out of there. I just don't know how it would even be possible in the like one right. day they gave everybody. But they didn't even bother to do a lot of stock footage of people.
No, like, and not only that, as far as like the natural disaster aspect of it, you see, you know, all these long, wide shots, helicopters flying the stuff, and everything's on fire. But there's very little, there's, you know, maybe one or two scenes where the actual natural disaster is the thing that is endangering them.
Yeah.
And it's not jackers, the kidnappers, the bad guy on their team.
Right. So it's the tunnel with the car. That's one moment. And then when they went to the North Pole or whatever the hell that was, and it was on fire.
Beginning? Yeah.
And then
North Pole of hell.
And then that's it. The only other thing was that really bad half CGI nuke thing they did.
Right.
You mean
that wasn't the fire. Yeah. That
no.
Was, oh, God. Yeah. That long shot with the nuke.
Yeah. Bad.
The two nukes exploding.
Real bad.
We got twin nuke detonation, yeah. sir.
Plus, you can see cars going on the freeways and it's the stubbest thing. Really? Yeah. So bad.
Awesome.
But when you see that, you realize, well, wait, this disaster movie ripped me off.
Yes.
There were no disasters.
It was a disasterless disaster movie.
The only disaster was that stupid tectonic plate calculator.
Oh Lord.
Oh yeah, the measuring, the centimeter right. measuring
device. Oh my gosh. Oh. It was like 0.567121. And I was like, come on, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I love parking my brain at the door. I'm happy to accept crappy fiction.
Yeah.
This just didn't let me. There are moments where just like, okay, like that's real dumb or that's real bad. Or why is it that if this thing's actually causing these horror, you know what, if that was really happening, it'd be constant earthquake in LA. They'd be going, oh, you guys, what are we going to do? Always. Instead, it's just, it's a nice night out here on North Hollywood.
Right.
Let's just
except
go.
The Jackers, yeah, it's pretty nice.
This is kind of nice. It made me move to LA. Oh, wait. It's all hell's broken loose.
Move to LA where they build tunnels out of gas pipes and lighter fluid.
Mm-hmm.
That thing blew up way too hard and way too easy.
I do feel
it looked like a nuclear explosion. So I was wondering if they were reusing some of the footage.
Oh, I'm sure
some parts of it.
Well, some of it, the stuff with the cars and the buildings being blown apart, that's all T2 right. stuff. All of it. Like hey, straight out of Terminator.
Did you enjoy the part where Hope, Holly, whatever her name is, was giving us the full rundown of what a BlackBerry is and how it works?
Yes, right at the beginning. Oh, this wireless. God. Using this wireless device to communicate with my dad.
She called it wireless instant messenger, WIM.
I enjoyed that.
Yes. That's awesome. Kidding.
That's the name of a WoW mod I use called WoW Instant Messenger. WIM, yeah. That's hilarious.
I got another trope for you.
Oh, good. Wait, hold on.
So a scientist, in this case played by Gimli, scientist confronts a bad guy. The scientist picks up a gun. He's clearly not very comfortable with it, but he's armed.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty big gun. All he has to do is start pulling the trigger and see what happens. The bad guy throws down his gun on command and is now unarmed. Guess who's going to die?
Right. The guy who's going to get the Gimli that gets smacked in the face with a cell phone, I think, is what it was.
The Gimli.
Yeah.
The Gimli, like he's not even a dude. You know, the Gimli that got smacked upside the face.
He blew that bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a reminder for reality. In reality, if you've got a gun and the other person doesn't, and they need killing, start pulling the trigger.
Yeah, right?
Just go ahead and do it. Just
right.
With that already. Get on the Gus. Get on the Gus bus.
Here's my favorite part of that guy, though. There's one moment where I actually felt like it was decent filmmaking. One tiny moment in the entire film, and it's when...
I must have been peeing during that time. What happened?
He's got the religious Christian dude there, right. One of the guys. And he's injured and he's down on the ground. And now the other dude's got the upper hand again. He turns around, aims that pistol right at his head and goes, are you a religious man? And he says, yes. And he goes, good, bang, and shoots him. It's kind of effective. Like, it's pretty hardcore. It's for just a moment there, you went, oh, yeah, filmmaking. That's what we're doing. Here's we're making a film. And then the rest of it fell apart again. But just for that one brief second, I kind of appreciated the nature of that, the shock of it, the kind of contrast of it. It was good.
I didn't.
It was actually a fast enough question that you go, oh, why is he asking that? Oh, yeah, and it's too late. He shot. So, I'm with you.
It was all right.
Are you a God-fearing man?
Yeah. You are? Yes. Okay, good. And then shoots him. Like to say, you know, it's a little subtle. It's like, oh, well, good. You're off to your new life, your afterlife, if that's where your faith is or whatever.
I'm just like, what would he have done if the guy had said, no, I'm a you fearing man. Right. I fear you right now.
I'm afraid of guns.
Yeah, I don't like guys with guns in my face. Oh, that's too bad. Man. Well, I won't shoot you then.
This scene's going to go on a lot longer. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty funny.
I don't know.
What else?
Can I ask just a little question? We had a duffel bag in this movie.
Yeah, we did.
And so there was a lot of nuclear carrying. So I couldn't figure out if they were wanting us to believe that aren't the nuclear devices usually like little bitty, but we had like this big sci-fi sort of missile sort of
triggers. The triggers are usually little bitty, but they have to have a lot of stuff around them, right?
Oomph. So I couldn't figure out if what they were doing when they were carrying the duffel bag around.
The detonators.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because it didn't seem like it was, it seemed like it wasn't heavy enough.
Oh my gosh. One word totally takes me back to that game or that movie. one single word and I'm back in Die Hard.
That's
man.
True. Yeah, exactly. Here's a little thing for you. A little tip. If you guys are ever doing Frog Pants All-Stars and the movie poster is Die Hard, all one of you has to say is detonators, because that won't be on the movie poster.
Right. Well done. Nicely done. That made me laugh. Anyway, sorry, Dunaway, you were still talking there.
Oh, that was it.
Was that all? Okay.
The duffel bag just seemed a little bit odd to me. It was a device, but it wasn't a very good device. It was failing, much like this movie.
Yeah. Tactical nukes, I guess, are different, though, and I don't know how all that works, and neither do they. I'm not giving them credit here, but I don't know anything about... Whoa.
Ooh.
Randy's touching a thing again.
What's that? What did I do? Hold on.
There's ghosts in your house.
Hold on. You started laughing.
Hold on. Let me just test this. Okay. I'm just going to test this.
All right. Yep. Oh, yeah.
That is so cool.
Well, I don't think it's touching. You touching when you were laughing.
Yeah.
I just stepped on a cable, a power cord that is not plugged into the iPad, but it's plugged into the wall.
That's what I'm good.
It's still better than Scorcher. Go ahead.
That is so cool.
That's probably not good.
Science, bitch.
That's probably not good.
Probably not good for my brain.
Yeah.
No, probably not. You're living in a...
I got a trope.
Oh, okay. Shit. Hold on. We got so many. Whoops. Ah, crap.
I promise, if we need two drills, one of them's going to get damaged before we get to use it.
I promise. If we have two nukes, we're either going to lose one or we're going to be using both. There's not going to be an extra nuke left over.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been cool if somebody had said, well, we got seven nukes. We only need one. Oh, we need two. No problem.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, if you need one nuke, we'll do the trick. Why bring two? It is kind of interesting for them to say. Here's the thing I don't think you worry about. His whole dud mentality. I don't like having duds.
That was the weakest story.
I don't think that works with nukes.
Firecracker dud. That was, I know. There's a big difference between getting a 1 cent black cat freaking firecracker and this nuclear device.
The guy at the stand in Wendover spilled his coffee on it and it didn't blow up. That's not the same as a nuke, not potentially. That's just dumb. And you're talking about maybe billions of dollars for a second one.
Right.
I don't know what they cost to make a nuke, but. You know.
I would have loved if they had somehow lost a second nuke and then he was disappointed at the end of the movie. Very disappointed.
That is tropey as hell, though. Got to have two. Do them at the same place. You know, even Captain America, the recent Captain America movie did this. You had to, it's basically like controlling, it's like, here's the storms on my mind, but it's like the Sky Temple, man. You got to have people on the one pad and on the other pad or else they're going to control both, but you got to have someone on one and one on the other or you're going to lose the whole thing. Same with Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Moving on to clips.
Wait, this movie ended with a freeze frame.
What?
It did?
I don't remember that.
Netflix cut to the credits so quickly, and like showed me other things that I should be watching.
Yeah, it did.
That I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, oh, so did you see Meltdown Days of Destruction with the lady with the boobs?
Yeah, I did. That was up there.
Yeah, that was it. Why didn't we watch that?
Behind it all was an advertisement for the Daredevil thing coming out next week.
We need to make that a new segment.
What's that?
If you liked this movie, you might also like.
Oh, that'd be fun. I'd be all right with that. So, we have a British fan who's upset that this wasn't streaming in his land, and I felt like saying, it's fine.
Congratulations.
It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me just ad-lib this.
His
this
land.
Week.
Okay, what?
If you liked Scorcher, you might also like Deadly Past. A bartender on parole gets re-involved with his previous girlfriend. Mm. You might like Warrior Angels. A warrior sets out to save her kidnapped son.
Mm.
Now, the reason Warrior Angels is bizarre, this is a film about a warrior who's a woman from the distant past, played by someone named Charlotte Avery. And guess who's also in it?
No.
Rutger Hauer.
Oh my gosh. Nice.
That's the connection. That's why. If you like this Rutger Hauer movie,
the part where they say might like Netflix it, the emphasis on might, they should put that in italicized and a quotes around it.
Yeah. Netflix is like, you're going down a rabbit hole. Yeah. Let's get you all the way there. Yeah. Come on.
You might like Boogie Boy. Guess who's in it? Mark Dacascos.
Oh, Boogie Boy.
Boogie Boy.
Ugh.
Boogie Boy.
I don't want anything to do with that.
It was he was a dude what turned into a boogie board. So now they're calling him Boogie Boy. Transformed.
I love your movie. Ooh, get that on the list, somebody.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your clips. Let's do some clips. We got to load. Not too many, but
I got a load.
I got a load.
Appropriate. That's appropriate terminology for this.
Here's the crappy music they used a lot. Here you go. Sorry, go ahead. Yes.
Hey, don't blame the music for
being bad. When this started up and it had those credits, those opening credits, I thought we were watching a TV show.
That's because you were.
It has the music and opening credits of a TV show.
Yeah. Siffy.
It looked so much like SG-1. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. SG-1. What?
Yeah, it looked totally like SG-1 when it first came on.
Oh, you mean the way they... Yeah. I could see that. And then, that stuff was bad. Here's a pissed off volcano. Or a reference to it.
Never seen such a pissed off looking volcano before.
Never seen such a pissed off looking volcano.
Shippa dooper.
Shippa deer.
All right, here's him laughing. This is Fingers laughing. It's a terrible laugh. It's the ha at the end.
I'm all out of air.
He's so good in Scrubs.
He's great in Scrubs. Such a little
This is a person who's been in other things.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Lloyd.
Yeah. Sam Lloyd's big in other things. Well, he's in, I think he was in Seinfeld a bit and Galaxy Quest.
Yeah,
and
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
He was in Galaxy Quest?
But most notably Scrubs, for sure.
Yes. He was the lead singer of the Blanks, the acapella group that does.
That's fun stuff.
Yeah. I just love that he's the most psychologically unstable guy in the whole hospital, yet he's in charge of that entire department.
Right.
It's great. Joking in the helicopter. Some more of that.
I think I saw a couple donkeys back there.
Sex laughs, your own business, Fingers.
Oh!
Yeah, real yuckster.
It's the only person having fun in this movie.
I get to fly a helicopter.
I did get the impression that he was making the most of it. You know, just dorking off and having fun.
Yeah.
What's this? Oh, here.
I'm Colonel Ryan Beckett. I've been sent to pull you out of here.
Yeah, by who?
By someone who gives a shit.
Apparently by Jeff Probst, according to music playing behind me.
Totally, dude. Totally. What was that about?
They're on an island in the South Pacific.
Oh,
and
yeah, then
so the
you
music
gotta
had
have
to
that.
Fit.
Okay. Okay.
That's so
by someone who gives a shit.
Someone who gives a shit.
Yeah, there was definitely music set up for every scene because you would constantly, every time you would go to a new scene, it'd be like, okay, we'll play the local music.
Yeah, it's theme. We call that theme scenes.
Right, theme scenes.
Get a little theme in there. It sounds like I'm saying seem wrong, doesn't it? Theme. Something wrong with my theme.
Theme.
One of those, huh? All right.
You're one of those.
One of what?
How come she sounds like she's having sex?
I don't know. But I love that he won't tell her. Listen to that again.
You're one of those.
One of what?
Never mind.
I never understood what that meant. What did that mean?
Like one of those meant that bleeding she's heart.
A...
Oh.
Like a hippie, like a nature hippie, take care of the mountain.
I, you know, I'm going off the recollection. This is really starting to fade out of my head.
Right. Is this leaking everywhere? Irrational women, I think, was the theme.
Oh, was that it? Irrational women. Great.
Oh, really? Okay. Right.
Nice and sexist. All right, here's something about teens. Oh, I know. This is teenagers.
I really did watch the film.
I believe it.
Honest, guys.
You got to start doing.
I didn't just look at the poster and read the wiki.
You got to start doing twofers and threefers like Randy on these things.
Good Lord.
I can't even imagine. All right, here's some teenagers, like, you know, how they are.
What happens if we get caught?
We never get caught.
Come on, Faith. Don't wuss out.
I'm not. I have to meet my aunt in half an hour. Well,
she's wussing out.
Told you. Come on.
Come on. Peer pressure.
Once again, kids. Once again, anyone who ever makes fun of you and says that you're wussing out. Yeah. You kick them in the groin, and you never speak to them again.
Yeah, you don't need those friends. Those are not your friends.
God, I hated those people and hoped I'd get to see them die later in the movie.
It's the McFly conundrum.
Yeah.
I like to pretend they did die.
Yeah.
I just pretend it in my head.
If they kept up the stupidity of walking on subway tracks with their backs to the subway,
yeah.
Then, yeah.
So you'll remember her name is Rain Marcus, right?
Yes, she's turned into a very beautiful woman.
Has she? Brian thinks so. I think she looks weird.
Her most recent film is a parody film called The Extendables.
Oh, Lord.
Are you sure that's not a porn film? Because that definitely sounds like porn.
That sounds like good pornography to me.
Nope, right, it's a parody film, and it's painful.
What is
it? Well, I hope she just grew out of those stupid purple and orange pants she was wearing. Not really. I don't want her to get super fat or nothing, but that was a horrible phase for her to go through.
Yeah, those were weird. Ugly times for her.
Well, this says that she's on Happy Endings as well.
Oh.
Another porn movie. God,
no, that's supposed to be such a great TV show, and I feel bad that I've never watched it, but it critically acclaimed, but...
Canceled, right? Now?
Got canceled, last year, two years ago.
Yeah, not enough people watched it. It feels like that would have
lived. She's the Kleenex girl in The Extendables.
Okay, come on, that has to be a porno.
It has to be. The Kleenex girl, come on.
I don't feel like Lisa Kudrow and Steve Coogan have the ability to carry a show to six seasons in a movie.
That show those two were in that. I didn't know that. Happy Endings?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. What channel was this on?
Is ABC?
Oh. Yeah. Steve Coogan?
Your ABC Love Boat channel,
wait,
right?
Steve Coogan, who did Wilhelmina?
Yeah, I love Steve Coogan. Is that who we're talking about?
This was like Friends, but quirkier.
I'm talking about a movie.
Okay.
Called Happy Endings.
Oh, that's a different thing. In.
Oh, that's that's not the series. Yeah.
Oh, she wasn't on the TV show. I'm sorry. Okay. No, I see.
So the Happy Endings movie became this show.
No, I think that's completely unrelated.
And it's one of those multiple story things.
Yeah. Because it's got Lisa Kudrow, Steve Coogan, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Bobby Cannavale.
I don't see
Jason Bobby Ritter, Cannavale. Tom Arnold.
Wait a minute.
Laura Dern.
I want to see this now too.
I kind of do. Yeah.
So Kudrow's in the movie, not the show. Right.
Kudrow's in the movie, not the show.
Okay.
An ensemble cast telling 10 stories with intertwining characters. One story is about a father and son who are dating the same woman. Another features a woman who long ago gave her baby up for adoption but is now being blackmailed by a documentary filmmaker who claims to know the now grown child's whereabouts.
Whoa.
And one of them is the witches in a hotel room.
Holy shit. I'm a big Steve Coogan fan, but I don't know about that movie. I haven't heard of it.
He's difficult. Sometimes he's amazing, and sometimes I just want him to shut up.
You should watch. Have you seen the Trip movies, like the Italian Trip?
I have. That's what I'm talking about.
I like those. I thought those were good.
There are moments when I'm just like, the Trip is so clever. And there's moments when I'm like, shut up, Steve Coogan. You are not funny.
Maybe the Italian Trip was a little less. I liked it less than the first one. I thought the first one was pretty good. And when they sit around doing their James Bond voices, that's
right.
Impressive.
Yeah, there's times when you're just like, this is amazing. Yeah. This is so funny. They just made up this really funny thing on the spot.
Those are both on Netflix, everybody. And for the record, all right, there you go.
You lost us a long time ago.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. What's up with Mother Nature?
What's up with Mother Nature?
I just love the news people.
That was one of my. Yeah, scientists are asking. What's up with Mother Nature?
What's up?
What's the deal with Mother Nature?
What's going on?
Ding, ding. Round one to Volcano Girl.
Yeah, round one to Volcano Girl.
Shut up, jerko.
That newscaster reminded me of this thing that drives me crazy, which is when they have the ad during like the 8 o'clock hour telling you to watch the news at 10.
Yep.
And the ad tells you basically need to hold your breath between now and then.
Yep.
Right.
But it doesn't tell you exactly why.
I don't I like it.
The if you're eating sour cream
on your couch, they could kill you right now.
Yeah,
that's pretty much
The worst. I was actually sitting in my home in Williamson County, Texas, and they came on 3 hours before the news and said, one Williamson County neighborhood is being asked to boil their water tonight. We'll tell you which one at 10. And I'm like, no, I hate you.
That's amazing. Yeah, they always do that. They suck. That's why I don't have those. I don't have news anymore. Here's Gimli talking.
Now, based on my observations in Antarctica, I would say that we are potentially on the verge of a catastrophic global event.
Okay, keep in mind, this movie comes out between Lords of the Rings.
Right,
so
right.
So this comes out between Fellowship and Two Towers. And you're loving Gimli, right? Great.
So he knew he was going to have a paycheck.
Yeah, it's like he was doing a buddy a favor or something.
Right.
That's how it feels.
He's referencing... What?
Look at his list. This guy will do anything.
Yeah.
John Rice. Yeah. I'm going to say Rice. I like Rice.
I always
John
say Rice.
Rice. I prefer Rice.
You can say Rice. You can say Rice.
He's got like 500 credits.
Yeah, he's a busy man. I like Sliders a lot when it was
on. Maybe we shouldn't call them credits when you get that many.
Mm. Right. But, that reminds me of a trivia question I have for you guys.
Oh, go.
So Mark Dacascos is the chairman in Iron Chef, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. He will give you potatoes.
Go around the room before anybody looks it up. How many episodes of Iron Chef has he appeared as the chairman? Scott,
Iron
guess.
Chef America. How many episodes?
All of them together.
200.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Hmm. Brian Ibbett.
I'll go 199.
Brian Dunaway.
I'm gonna go $1. $1.
You were supposed to go 201 and you would have gotten it. It's 244.
Damn it!
Oh, crap. That's a lot.
That is.
I wonder how many. They probably filmed all those in a month.
It was like 10 seasons, basically.
Yeah. Probably in a month. He just had to yell cheese over and over or whatever. All right, here. Well,
he has to be there for the tasting, doesn't he? I mean, I remember watching the Japanese one with Taigaki.
Yeah, that guy was great.
Chairman Taigaki, who ate the big bell pepper at the beginning.
Yeah, he'd bite it and then jerk it away real fast.
And smile slowly at the camera.
I've seen an animated GIF that features that edited with something else that is absolutely the most disgusting thing you've ever seen, but it is really, really funny. I'll tell you guys off air what it is.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's
I can
really,
just imagine.
Really, really funny. All right. Why so serious?
Some are calling the most important speech in the history of the country, if not the world.
The world.
The world?
If not...
But why are we always the ones? Why isn't it a bunch of Chinese guys trying to figure out how to save the volcano?
The Chinese are the ones who did this to us, man. Blowing up 3 nuclear bombs under the ground or something.
Whatever. I'm just saying, it's always us. It's always us. All the disaster movies, it's always us.
It's just American movies. I think the Japanese do their own thing.
They got their own deal. Mm. There's features of giant... scaly creature that breathes fire and destroys their city. So I don't know. I think that's supposed to be us. You know the theory on that, right? That all the Godzilla's
America?
Yeah, it's Godzilla is not necessarily like in a way that keeps the grudge going.
Yeah.
But just says this is the America of our history and they're the ones that blew us to shit.
Look how fat out of shape they are.
They blew us to hell and back and now here's how we deal with it.
We all sound like to them.
Yeah. Hey, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Hold on, Ibbett. Do that one more time. Give me another one.
You don't see my hands waving or any of that, any of the Godzilla motions I'm doing.
No. That was great.
It just sounds like trying to take a poop.
I just can't. I can't believe in that theory. That's just, I don't know, because Godzilla is just a generic, daikaiju. Mm-hmm. And you can find them going back way before World War II.
Yeah.
Like, you can find them back in the 30s.
To be clear, I've only ever heard this theory from other white Americans. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't Japan going, here's our theory on why we like Godzilla. It's us over here going, here's why we think they like Godzilla so much.
Right.
Because I kind of agree with you. I think it's like, too simple to just say.
The character named Godzilla is definitely something that comes after World War II, but just the whole Daikaiju concept predates their conflict with the U.S.
Let's see. There's this Godzilla symboler. Okay, so according to this, the 1954 film. So here's where I got some of this stuff. 54 Japanese science fiction film directed by Eiichiro Honda.
Honda.
Heir to the Honda fortune. I don't know what he does. The film stars Akira, blah, blah, blah. Okay. It says here, okay.
Bing.
It says here, okay, here it is. The film focuses on Godzilla, a prehistoric monster who is resurrected and did it because of these repeated tests in the Pacific, who ravages Japan and reignites the horrors of a nuclear devastation in the very nation that experienced it firsthand. According to this, the director made some comments that this was a reference to that, that nuclear holocaust only leads to terrible things, and in this case, a giant monster. So there you go.
Right, right. Literal.
So I don't know. It, you know, that's his take. I heard a lot of you know, fancy white American film students go.
Fancy white.
Yeah, listen. We think it's symbolic of the fall of man.
Like that.
Symbolism.
Here's some additional clips. This is one. Oh, this is Fingers. Okay, so here's Fingers.
F you fingers.
That's
yeah. Wow. For some reason, right in the middle of the movie, for no reason at all, they just started dropping F bombs and yeah. cursing it up.
Why not?
It was weird.
Why not? Give it a bring. Bring your A game, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Probably how they were feeling
your
about halfway
F game.
Through.
What's this? Oh, he yeah.
I hate duds.
There you go. He hates duds.
I hate duds. I hate milk duds. I hate whoppers. I hate all of them.
I hate those duds.
Everybody hates duds.
This guy really hates them, though.
You're eating your whoppers, and all of a sudden, you're eating a milk dud.
Yeah, you don't like those duds. Hey, check him out. Here's the long version.
July 4th, 1972. First time my old man let me set up a firecracker. I lit the fuse, tossed it up, waiting for that great big bang. But nothing happened. Damn thing was a dud. I hate duds.
Hey, duds.
I hate duds.
Who tells a story like this?
Tony, I hate duds.
I don't know why
that makes me laugh so hard. All right, couple days. Something, what?
Couple days? Shit, man.
Oh, more fingers.
Shit, man.
Yeah, I like fingers.
That's
I didn't
fingers
like fingers.
And, yeah. What? Who?
Go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say, if I was okay with fingers, he was annoying me with the Murdoch thing up. But then when he started doing the martial arts, the mixed martial arts practicing on the field, mm-hmm. I was starting to.
That was all right. That was okay.
It was taking me back to Karate Kid Part 2.
Yeah, a little bit.
It was a scene that I wish, if I were watching this movie on my computer instead of on my PlayStation, I would have froze it and then did a screen cap of it. Mm-hmm. Because it's fingers standing in front of his plane in the middle of an intersection in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is again, probably the worst Photoshop, Final Cut Pro.
Yep.
Whatever.
If that. Yeah.
If that. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I have it right here. In fact, I capped it and will probably end up being our header for the site. Here it is. I'll just stick it into the chat. You guys can see it and get it first taste there.
You're talking about the PS4, right, Ibit? So you can't capture like Netflix because you can share.
Oh, yeah,
I've
never tried it. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Exactly.
Yeah, look at those drop shadows and stuff.
Right. Exactly. That's so like the
bad.
Ladder.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's really, really, really bad.
Lands it right there in the middle of town.
Yeah, I couldn't help but cap that. That's so funny. I totally did what you were going to do. I capped it for that same reason.
Because it was so
so bad. All right, how about this guy? This guy creeps me out. All right, there you go. I said the thing that it said.
Yeah. Was that face?
No, here's face. Here you go.
Woman's IQ is higher than your sperm count.
Oh, you know what they say, Colonel. Only a fool underestimates the style of styles.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Another Styles I always loved, Teen Wolf Styles.
Wait a minute. No, was there a guy named Teen? There was a guy named Styles?
Yeah, Styles and Teen Wolf. The one that was
his buddy.
Yeah, when driving the van.
Right. Really? Let's see.
My favorite Styles is One Direction.
Oh, there's a new Styles in the MTV show.
Oh, he's the new style.
Mary Stuart Masterson's character in John Hughes thing, Some Kind of Wonderful.
Wasn't
she Styles?
Yeah, she was also Styles. Hold on, Styles, Some Kind of Wonder. Yeah, of Wonder Bar. Here we go.
Wonder Bar.
Styles, yep. Styles Kiss. Yep, that's her.
There we go.
Well done.
It's a good name for like the cool character. Hey, Styles.
It's a good name if you're not 100% sure what this flat character is. We gave him the name Styles.
Yeah, because he don't like duds.
And I know we're gonna get to the Star Trek connections, but in Star Trek 3, the search for Spock.
Yeah.
Can't talk all of a sudden.
the
Captain
shirtless
Styles.
Spock.
Was there a Captain Styles? Really?
The shirtless Spock. Captain that was my Styles. Favorite.
Amazing.
Oh, Captain Styles.
Amazing.
I'm on the IMDb page for exact character matches named Styles.
That's great. That's great. All right, here's one. Oh, the general's getting, she's yelling at the general.
You are one cold fish, General.
That's the way the country likes it, Janet.
That's right. You tell Hawkeye you can't have a Jeep until after 6.
See, again, without the visuals, that guy sounds so much like Alec Baldwin.
Oh, weird. Let's play it again.
Alec Baldwin.
Tell me that wasn't...
Hold on, not that one. This one.
You are one cold fish, General.
That's the way the country likes it, Janet.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's totally it. Liz Lemon at the end would have been perfect. That's great. Well, here he is getting all pissed. So, oh, and this is the pause, okay? So here's your trope pause. I love this.
Tell me that wasn't...
No, sir. Nukes are stable.
Tell me that wasn't... Second.
I wasn't going to finish this sentence.
I hate
please.
That. It's like the... What the... That stuff just right. kills me. Right. It's 22,002 people. You didn't have to do that anymore.
22,002.
Now he's going to do some angry acting.
What in the hell is going on out there?
That's when we start getting Police Academy level. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I forgot that we got his angry acting. We got Rhys Davies's angry acting just a few minutes later, too. Yeah.
We're going with Rhys from now on, right? All of us?
Okay. Sure.
You can have Rhys Davies. Okay. How about this one? Can we call his last name just Davis? Can we just call him John Rhys Davies from now on?
Sure.
Okay.
JRD.
Who's going to stop us? Here's another one for you. I hate this line because, well, I'll tell you why.
Walking into an ambush, real good.
Okay. First of all, it's a terrible delivery and awful dialogue, but the whole nature of an ambush is that you're being ambushed.
Right. You walk into
it. You don't anticipate an ambush, or if you do, there is no ambush. So to say, oh, I walked into an ambush, did you? Yes. That is what an ambush, it's like that's why you make the reservation. It's like that Seinfeld episode. You ambush to have them walk into it unsuspecting that there's an ambush. If you don't, there is no ambush.
So for example, just to paint this picture for you, my sister used to have a cat that would wait around the corner, and when you came walking by, it would swipe at your ankles, right?
Yeah. Nice.
I hated this cat. And after the first couple of times the cat was laying in wait to ambush you and caught you, you would know it was going to be there, so you would do something else. And my favorite thing to do was to get something like a stuffed animal and throw it really, really hard at the opposite wall. And the cat would be laying in wait, and suddenly the stuffed animal would come flying right past it and smack into the wall and freak it out.
Yeah.
And that's why there isn't an ambush if you know there's going to be an ambush.
Right. Exactly, yeah. Right. It supports my theory. Right, so to get on that guy about the ambush is just bad form.
Yeah. Pronunciation guidance guy,
yeah,
by the way.
Let's play this real quick. We got John Rhys Davies.
It'll hypnotize you at the beginning.
Oh, my gosh. What is this about? Okay.
It's like 10 minutes worth of waiting.
All right, here we go. How to pronounce John whatever.
John Rhys Davies.
John Rhys Davies. So I was closer on the Davis part.
There isn't an I or an E in Rhys. So I don't see how you get an E sound.
Well, let's try it one more time. She repeats it, I think.
John Rhys Davies.
Okay, there's more.
Davies.
No.
John Rhys Davies.
No, that child is wrong.
It also sounds like a robot
I'm
going
to say it how I want to.
It sounds like a robot child to me.
It does, yeah.
All right.
John Rhys Davies.
I love that fake one.
What's that? Right.
Oh,
yes.
That fake one is so great. I can't
find
it.
Kerflimpfer.
He's the best.
Kerflimpfer.
He's the best. And by the end, he's like, it's really funny. That deserves every subscription it gets on that YouTube channel.
It really
channel.
Does, yeah.
Okay, we're almost done with these here. We got bad guy.
The day he shall descend upon this earth and unleash his wrath.
You know what he was? You know what he was channeling?
Who?
Every other pro wrestler that has ever given a speech before walking down to the ring.
Totally.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Brother.
Yeah, totally.
Gonna kick his ass.
Yeah, the best part is that ending part. Let me do that. I want to play that one more time. Where is it? Here he is. Nope, not him.
The day he unleashed his wrath.
It sounds like he had built up so much momentum and energy that he didn't realize that the sentence was about to end.
Yeah.
So he had to like carry those last few syllables.
Right.
And these are directors and editors who clearly don't know to say, oop, need to do that one again. Right. You know, that's good enough. Yep.
Cash and carry, people. Cash and carry.
Here's the, this is a kind of dialogue that's everywhere in the movie. I just saved some of it.
May not have been there when she was born, but I'm sure it's not going to be there at the end.
I'm touched. Have it your way.
Oh! Pew! But yeah, it's always full of this, like,
certainly going to be there when she dies. Wait, what?
Wait a minute. What,
what did so I just say?
He's so egotistical. I mean, he thinks he's going to be there for her death.
You know why? Here's why.
I hate duds.
All right.
Hate duds.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. This is the last clip. I accidentally did something. I don't normally do this. I accidentally recorded an AT&T commercial, a cell phone AT&T service commercial. And this is how that went.
We're 30 feet underground, asshole. Good luck getting a signal.
There you go. I didn't mean to do that. I apologize to everybody listening.
He was able to get it once he fell down the hole, though. When he was further down, he was able to get a signal. Because his phone rang.
Yeah, that made sense.
That's how waves work.
Made perfect sense as he got down there. All right. Well, that was lovely. Now I've lost my place. Oh, yeah. Look at this. It's the time for the this thing. Here, come on. Scott, click it. Hold on. There we go. Ooh, today's Film Sack Checklist includes the following. Natural disaster that only affects the story moments as needed, but otherwise is not there. Check. Got it. No other people exist in the movie. No people on streets or anything. Check. And finally, everyone's a bad guy. Check. Mm. Today's Star Trek connections include Mark Rolston, who played Special Agent Kellaway, the jerk who shot everyone in the face or tried to. He was on TNG as Walter Price in the episode Eye of the Beholder, and Enterprise in an episode called Kanamar. He was a high Klingon captain dude in something called Squid. That was his name. The episode's called The Augments. Sorry. John Rhys-Davies was Dr. Matthew Salen in Voyager, played a hologram of Leonardo da Vinci. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Joel West, who played Zero, was also in Enterprise, played the augment Rakan in the episode Borderland. Frederick Perrin, who was the caterer, was a caterer during production of Star Trek 6. In Discovered Country, and
I make you a sandwich, shirtless Spock. Here you go.
Exactly. Frank Novak, he was a city engineer in DS9. He played an alien businessman in the episode Babel. And finally, Alex Babel? Datcher.
Is that Babel?
What? Babel. Babel. I always say Babel. Is it Babel?
All right.
I always said Babel. I don't know.
Check YouTube.
Alex Datcher played Janet Hill, and TNG played Ensign Tate in the episode Descent Part 2. I wish that was Taint and then the name Descent Part 2. That'd be even funner.
Yeah. There's really nothing less unexpected than John Rhys-Davies with his 5,000 credits was our Star Trek connection.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's goofy.
It had to be.
Soundtrack great to give it a C for cheap. It just seemed cheap and knockoffy, and you know.
It just felt like they purchased it from some action TV show.
Mm-hmm. That probably got recycled from the TV show Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
yeah, totally. Ooh, I liked Hunter.
Terminator 2.
Is it bad that I liked Hunter? I kind of liked Hunter when I was
like, I loved Hunter. Hunter. That was a great show.
Hunter was like, to me, it was like the Rockford Files, but like edgier.
Right.
I think he even had the coat with the patches on it, like he used to have, and he had a car that was like a signature car. Like they really ripped off that whole thing, but I liked it. It was Hunter.
It felt hard. It was good. Yeah, I liked it.
It was all right. Let's do the Twitter post. This is where 140 characters or less. You guys sum up the film. Let's start with Randy.
Scorcher, like other films that were written by Kitty Chalmers, you'll ask, meow, did this get made?
Wait,
did nice you throwback.
Is that last week's?
Week before last, right? Wait.
Two weeks ago.
Freddy Kid wasn't Kitty Chalmers.
That's not the exact kid. You did that thing you said you were going to do or something, right, with Kitty Chalmers? Now I don't remember. Crap.
Now I'm going to go back and listen.
Randy's going to be cagey about it. Come on, man. Yeah. Tell us what you're doing.
That's up.
He's not going to do it. All right, fine. He watched this thing three times. I will give him anything.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, leave him alone. He's seen this movie more times than we'll ever have to.
I've done my Twitter post.
Brian Dunaway.
Scorcher, like stealing Randy's Twitter post 5 minutes into an episode. Who cares? This movie sucks. Hey, does this turtleneck make me look evil?
Yes, it does.
Because it makes me very angry.
I was going to tell you. By the way, your hair right now is luxurious, Brian.
Oh, thank you.
Luxurious.
By the way, the Twitter post you stole, I deleted it, so I don't even have it in my notes anymore.
Wow.
But it was just amazing to me that this film was just like the trailer at the beginning of Tropic Thunder.
I think the next five movies should have your Kitty Chalmers reference. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Scorcher. The secret ingredient is shit.
Blueberry sheet.
I'd watch that episode of Iron Chef America. Yes. I would.
Starting Divine.
That's right. nice. I'm going to now. Ooh, look, just hand it to me. Hold on. Ugh, alternate titles. Here we go. GE presents the truck oven, or or alternately, how deep is your mysterious underground hole? And that's it. We got an email that came in the form of a phone call. So it's not really an email. It's a phone call.
Okay. And, it's a phone call then.
Yeah. I'm going to share it with you now. It is from a listener, and they have this to say.
I love the show. My name is Greg Winter. I just wanted to give you guys a heads up so as you don't waste your time. Starship Troopers may be one of the worst, or Starship Troopers 2 may be one of the worst movies ever made. It was obviously just a way to hold on to the franchise. It's like an alien shooting movie where it has nothing to do with anything in any of Starship Troopers, the first one. The third one, on the other hand, is actually pretty enjoyable. So if you're going to watch another Starship Troopers, don't watch the second one. Watch the third one.
All right.
I'm going to go with this guy. So I'm going to agree with this guy.
A dark omen with this guy. Really wants us to avoid that Starship Troopers 2. I don't know if 3 is streaming.
I don't think it is, and we're doing it. We're doing it. We're going to watch Starship Troopers 2. This may be This may be the hardest week ever.
But it may be, okay, look at it this way. It's no Scorcher, so it's got to be better than that.
That was going to say, as long as we're watching it after watching Scorcher,
yeah,
it's going to feel like a breath of fresh air.
If it's worse than Scorcher, how sad are we going to be, though? I mean, it could be real.
Is it just called Starship Troopers 2 or is it Invasion? Oh, there it is. Hero of the Federation. Mm. And then 3 is Marauder.
But this is based on this is still canon, right? This is still part of the book series, right?
No.
But it just doesn't follow the.
There is only one book, as far as I know, and yeah, one and, covered yeah, that.
And this is not. This is just a sequel that some guy wrote. Some
yeah.
Guy,
mm-hmm.
Ed Newman. 3 does involve the return of Casper Van Dien.
Oh. Well,
which is the only Van Damme you need.
Starship Troopers 3.
However, it is not streaming. So
that one actually has a full point higher in score on IMDb. 3 does over 2.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Oh, Casper Van Damme.
So you're saying that if you do the math, Casper is at least worth 1 star, is what you're saying.
Right. It's, all things, all else being equal, sure.
You know
right,
what? Right. It's moot. Starship Troopers is unlisted from Netflix.
Oh, yeah. It's gone?
Yeah, they
dropped
it.
Oh,
it's gone. They've dropped it in the last few days.
Somebody went, look, guys, we can't go so seconds. Shitty.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, well, then what's up next?
I got another sequel for us that we're going to watch. Mm. For our next episode, and that's Crocodile Dundee 2, oh, and that shit. Is streaming.
We have to have a vote on that one. I think those Crocodile movies blow. I think they're terrible. Do we really have to do a Crocodile Dundee movie?
I'll have you know.
Yes. When are we doing Romance in the Stone? Were we supposed to do that?
Yeah, but it got
unlisted. I'll have you know, Crocodile Dundee 2 has better reviews and ratings than Scorcher.
All right.
How about Alan Quartermain?
I'll do it. I hate those movies so much.
We've got so many sequels over the next few weeks. We got Mission Impossible 2.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
We got Highlander 3.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'm into that.
Dundee 2 has Stephen Root and Charles Dutton.
Really? Charles S. Dutton. I love
him. Yeah, all the stars TV's came rock. Out for the sequel. Yeah,
TV's Rock, not The Rock.
Not The Rock.
The ROC.
Susie Essman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was one of the inmates in Alien 3. He was great in that.
Let me just get some numbers out for Scott. Scorcher is a 3.6 in IMDb, which is horribly low.
That's pretty low.
IMDb scales way up.
Yeah.
Crocodile Dundee 2 is a 5.5.
Oh, wow.
That's like right down the middle of the street, brother. I mean, come on.
Is this the one where he's surprised that a bidet isn't a drinking fountain or something like that?
I Who think knows? You're right.
Probably. He I goes to New York, right. fish out of water. It's still not a knife. One. This is still a knife.
This fish out of water bullshit. I hate it, but I'll do it. I'll take one for the team.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? You guys remember like that movie Indiana Jones? We talked about it in the past, right? Okay, so you know there was like this other movie called Alan Quartermain that kind of came out shortly thereafter because it was based on something that was like another known property. Anyway. Did you guys know that in 2008 there was an Alan Quartermain in the Temple of Skulls?
No.
That they continued their
Shut
thievery
up. Shut up.
Of writing Indiana Jones' coattail?
Alan Quartermain has been around way longer than but yeah, Indiana Jones. But
right, the story has. But
yeah, but that's hilarious. Alan Quatermain, the Skull of Crystal. What was it?
The Temple of Skulls. If this is available, I'm going to watch this with you.
What's this one in 20? There's one in 2015 called Alan Quatermain and the Oriental Death Stone. That's not the one you're talking about.
No, this is called the Temple of Skulls.
Death Stone.
Bring back to us. Bring back to us.
And Alan Quatermain gets in a deep freezer. And he avoids nuclear bombs.
I would love to see one of these. I've never seen one. I don't know a thing about them.
They're fantastic. Well,
I want you to know it's on our all-time watch list. If it ever goes streaming, we're watching Alan Quatermain. Well, there's a bunch of things like this that we've come over in the past and streamed for a month.
It's got a 2.8 on IMDb. Oh, that's really sad. Okay. I'm fine. Whatever. Crocodile Dundee 2 it is.
That was Richard Chamberlain.
Yeah.
And Sharon Stone and James Earl Jones. Yes.
The Quatermain, the old
whatever.
One?
That was great.
All right.
What was that adventure movie that Danny DeVito was in that was kind of like, was that Romancing the Stone?
Romancing the Stone.
And the second one. He featured more in the second one.
Right, which was the Jewel of the Nile.
Jewel of the Nile, yeah.
Right.
He was, they decided.
That's
you know what he is? He is like, what's his name in the Mel Gibson, Danny Glover.
Oh, yeah, the, right.
Who's the guy? Freaking
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci, he's the
they
Joe Pesci.
You with the drive-thru.
It's so funny, you always remember that a little bit.
I'll give you another one, by the way. You might recall some time ago, FilmSack 221 specifically, we watched Leprechaun.
Oh yeah, Leprechaun 4 is up in space.
All of them are, and I think we should skip. I think we shouldn't skip. I think we should go to Leprechaun 2 next.
2, 3, 4, really?
And
really?
Over the years,
do you think there's like storyline that we're going to be bummed we missed by not watching these in order?
I'm just saying. Lost. Years from now. We'll be watching Leprechaun 6 Back to the Hood, and we'll be so happy.
This one
that's
has,
the one, we want to get to, right?
This one has Kenny Baker in it. I'm not interested.
What if we do 2 and then we do 3, and before we can get to Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space, they pull it from Netflix?
Well,
miss out on our chance?
Then what we do is we just have a Leprechaun Sunday where we just do all of them at one time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord. I'm not sure I could, but 4 though is in space. You guys, it's a space. It's a space leprechaun,
right?
Space leprechaun.
Okay, oh, so I want that one. I want one. I want that one.
Skip Leprechauns 2 and 3.
Yeah, maybe we'll go back to them, but I think we go right to 4. And I say we do it in place of Crocodile Dundee. No, I'll listen. If you'll put 4 up after that, I'll gladly do. I'll swallow the crocodile next week.
Look at that.
I've just moved him.
Okay.
That's
right.
Not a movie.
We've come to an agreement. We've had parlay here. We've done it. We've done it live on the air.
And I've got Highlander 3 coming up in a
parlay.
Few
not parlay.
Yeah, you get parlay. Sure.
Is that right?
That's where negotiators.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why does it sounds wrong though? Parlay. Parlay.
Parlay. Yeah.
Okay. Parsley.
Parley. Parley.
Tony, we're gonna sit down and have a parlay.
All right. So Crocodile Dundee, get your Paul Hogan on next week, everybody. And the caller who called in, we dodged the bullet known as thing.
Whether you had anything to do with it or not, you may have helped us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, buddy. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. What a fantastic episode. It's one of my favorites. I knew it would be. Whenever we do total shit, it's always fun. So I guess I can thank Scorcher for that on that level anyway. We're going to get out of here now. Thank you all for being here. Filmsack.com is the website. Leave us your voicemails like that one at 801-471-0462. Happy to play it on the show. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, we're on Twitter @FilmSack. Leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts can be procured. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. Uh-huh. See you next time.
Get on the bus, Gus.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. That has a better soundtrack than that movie did.
Mm-hmm. So one of the